Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 27 and 28. Atā abhipretam anvikṣa brahmano madhusudanah viṣaṇṇa cetasam tena kopa vyatikara Atha vipretam anviksha Brahmano madhusudanah Viṣaṇṇa cetasam tena Kalpa vyatikarambhasa Loka samsthana vijñāna Atmana parikidhyataha tam aha gadhaya vacha kashmalam samayaniva. Atā. Thereupon. Abhipretam. Intention. Anviksha. Observing. Brahmanaha. Of Brahma. Madhusudanaha. The killer of the Madhu demon. Viṣaṇṇaha. Depressed. Cetasam. Of the heart. Tena. By him. Kalpa. Millennium. Vyatikara. Amphasa. Devastating water. Loka samsthana. Situation of the planetary system. Vijñāne, in the science. Atmanaḥ, of himself. Parikidhyataḥ, sufficiently anxious. Tam, unto him. Aha, said. Agathaya, deeply thoughtful. Vacha, by words. Kashmalam, impurities. Shamayan, removing. Iva, like that. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. Purport. The devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living entities, such as the human beings, those lower than the human beings, and the superhuman beings. All the planets in the universe are situated according to the different grades of living entities under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are three modes of material nature, and when they are mixed with one another, they become nine. When the nine are mixed, they become 81, and the 81 also become mixed, and thus we ultimately do not know how the delusion increases and increases. Lord Brahma had to accommodate different places and situations for the requisite bodies of the conditioned souls. The task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. But by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to execute the tremendous task so perfectly that everyone is amazed to see the workmanship of the Vidhata, or the regulator. So here we find that the task was exceedingly difficult, and only Brahma could undertake it. And therefore he was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and was then able to undertake this work. And still, after he completed it, he was later criticized by some well-known cowherd girls of Vrindavan for being incompetent and doing the whole thing wrong by creating eyelids that blinked and prevented continuous darshan of the beautiful form of Lord Krishna. From this we can understand that even if you undertake very difficult work, and even if you're guided personally by Krishna or his direct representative, still someone will criticize. Therefore, Krishna instructs us repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita that you have to be even-minded in glorification and defamation. That means that you can expect that in this is such a world that you have to expect both. You'll never just be glorified, you have to be criticized. And you'll never just get criticized. Somebody will be there to glorify you. At least your wife will say, maybe you did good, or if they, no. We have an experienced grihastha who's shaking his head, no. But someone will appreciate it. If no one appreciates, we can pay someone. Atavi pretam anviksha. So, Lord Krishna is upadrashtanu mantaja. He's present within the heart of every living being. And therefore he can understand the intention of every living being. Anviksha means that he was seeing the intention of Ipreta. This is Krishna, Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana. He can see the feeling or the intention of the devotee. Therefore, as Guru Kripa Prabhu mentioned yesterday, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated the illiterate Brahmin, because even though he couldn't read, Lord Chaitanya understood the intention. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guna. This person has full faith in Krishna and full faith in the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, I consider him the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. These other people, so learned, this, that, they're something else. But he actually had studied Bhagavad Gita and understood the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. He's appreciated how Krishna is so kind that he's pulling the chariot of Arjuna, acting just like a servant for his devotee. Just by seeing the picture, this Brahmin has understood this. Why has he understood it? Because he's sincerely tried to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, confirmed that yes, this man is the actual scholar of Bhagavad Gita. He's understood Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in that way, Krishna understands the intention. There was some other incident that some, who was it who was coming to Puri to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the Goswamis, and he picked up one very nice Brahmin along the way. Maybe it was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, I think so. He came to Puri, and along the way, while he was traveling, some Brahmin came and was serving him very attentively, very humble, meek person, and doing everything to make his journey, facilitate his journey. And then they got to Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at once was so pleased to see this Goswami, and the Brahmin he completely ignored. didn't give him a glance. Why? Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya could understand that this person within his heart is a Mayavadi. Just as there are many people, they're chanting, oh Govinda, oh Krishna, oh Radhika Ramana, this, that, but within their heart they're thinking, oh Lord, I'm like a drop in the ocean, please let me merge with the ocean and become one with you. So the Lord understands their intention and doesn't reciprocate with them in devotional service, but reciprocates by saying, all right, you can merge with the Brahmajyoti, that's all right, but you're ineligible, you're excluded from devotional service by your own choice, by your own choice. And someone else who wants to serve, Krishna understands, yes, this person, Prabhupada gave the example that sometimes we're chanting Sri Guru Charana Padma. So Guru means cow. Prabhupada said, I am not a cow. He said that I can understand the intention. I can understand the intention, therefore I accept. Or just like the mother, the child is crying. So what the child is saying, who knows, but the mother understands the need of the child. So Krishna is like that. He could understand the intention of Brahma. This person is trying to render devotional service and he's feeling frustrated, he's feeling hopeless, he's feeling depressed. So in this way I have to help him because he's completely dependent upon me. No one else is there to instruct him. I'm going to have to help him. Atha vipretam anviksha brahmano madhusudana vishanna chetasam. Vishanna chetasa means that Brahma was, his mind was depressed. Just as in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was depressed. That chapter is called Arjuna Vishad Yoga. Chapter in which Arjuna is showing depression. Why depression? Kashma lamidam. Because of impurities. Impurities that come within the mind or within the heart. Forgetfulness of Krishna. Forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. Thinking it all depends on me and my power or capability. If I don't have the power, how will it go get done? How will things go on? And not depending fully on Krishna, not realizing that everything is under the control of Krishna, and I simply have to, not now please, I simply have to carry out the instructions of Krishna, and Krishna will see to the rest. It may be successful, it may be unsuccessful. My job is only to carry out the instructions and depend on Krishna for the outcome. When we forget Krishna, then it immediately so many perplexities, so many difficulties. And when we remember Krishna, no difficulty, no perplexity. In the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, he was fighting against the yakshas and being controllers of magic, they started dropping weapons on him, pillars and blood and pus raining from the sky and javelins and all sorts of things just descending like rain on Dhruva Maharaj and his army. So it became bewildering. But Dhruva Maharaj had one weapon, and when he fired that weapon, all the illusions, which is what they were dispelled. And then Dhruva Maharaj was able to emerge successfully. The Prabhupada explains that our weapon is the mantra weapon, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By this mantra, sincerely chanted under proper direction, all illusion is dispelled. Vishanna Chetasam Tena Kopa Vyatikarambasa. The Brahma saw that the whole universe is covered with water. What am I to do? Loka Samsthana Vigyana Atmana Parikityataha. So he was in anxiety because he had to construct all the planetary systems. Loka Samsthana. Loka Samsthana Vigyana. This is science. Vigyana means, Prabhupada's translation, science, or practical application of knowledge. Jnana means knowledge. Vigyan means the practical application of knowledge. So Brahma had to bring his knowledge to bear to arrange everything in the planetary systems for three grades of living entities. Those in the lower situation, in the middle situation, and the higher situation, according to the degree of their infection by the modes of material nature and the type of their infection by the modes of material nature, they were to be situated in each in their own place. He was anxious. How am I going to do this? Although he's very learned. If there are any cell phones on, please can we turn them off? If you have a cell phone, please put it on silent mode. Thank you. So he was anxious. How am I going to do this? Where are these living entities going to go? How are these planets going to be situated? How are we going to, just like an architect may be anxious, how to solve this problem, put all the pieces together in this little space? Or how? For Brahma, as an architect, the architect of the universe, and no one else was there to do it. It's not that you could pass it on to a colleague or delegate the work. I have to do it. How am I going to do it? It's all depending on me. It all depends on me. How will I do it? Therefore, he was in anxiety. What is that? Bhayam vitiya vinibeshita syat. This anxiety or fear comes from duality. Duality means, again, forgetting Krishna. Not being connected with Krishna, not having a firm, clear connection with Krishna places us in anxiety. So this is kashmala, impurity. And to dispel that impurity, the Lord himself instructed Brahma. There was no one else. Brahma was the original person. So the Lord personally spoke to him, akadhaya vacha, with very deep and thoughtful words. Vande Krishna Jagat Guru. Guru means heavy. Deep, thoughtful. The Guru has to be thoughtful. He has to be deeply thoughtful and be able to instruct the disciple with enlightening words, kashmalam shamayan, to dispel the illusions or impurities of the disciple. The most qualified person to do that is Krishna himself. Krishna himself is the source of all knowledge. He's the supreme authority. He's very expert in speaking. He's the original perfect speaker. And his words can dispel the illusion of any perplexed living being who hears them with a receptive mood. Arjun surrendered to Krishna. Now I am bewildered. You please instruct me. And because of that submissive mood, and because of his understanding, I'm in a mess, I'm perplexed, dharma samutha cheta, I'm confused about my duty, therefore I surrender, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. You tell me what to do. Of course, he had his own idea, Nayotse te Govinda, I won't fight. But he surrendered to Krishna. You please instruct me. Because sometimes even we're attached to the wrong course of action. But if Krishna sees that we have the right intention, I want to do the right thing, then Krishna corrects us from within or from without. Guru Kripa Prabhu was telling me a verse this morning from 12th canto, Bhagavatam. Sapada Bhulam.
What is that? Padita Priyasya.
Padita Priyasya.
Chakyanibama Sahari Padesha.
That Krishna says that even if my devotee is attached to some wrong thing, or he has weakness of heart, he's not able to do the right thing, I see the intention. I see the intention. And therefore, I accept him, and I purify him. I guide him on the right path. The same point, practically speaking, made in Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudaracharo padate mamananyupat sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasitahisa. It doesn't matter what abominable things he did. If he's completely attached to my devotional service, I consider him a sadhu. I don't know what all you people think about him, but I consider him a sadhu. Krishna says. Why? Kripram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he'll come to the right point. On this account, that he's padate imam ananyapak. Whatever shortcomings he has, whatever failings he has, whatever mistakes he's made, whatever is wrong with him, this point is right. And he's attached. Padate imam ananyapak, to my devotional service. There may be so many moral men, there may be so many learned men, there may be so many men who are working for good causes. There may be so many pious men. They're less important. This person, out of hundreds and thousands, is engaged in my devotional service. I consider him a sadhu. This is Krishna's statement, very strongly. Sadhu eva. Eva means definitely. Sadhu eva samantavya. Samyak vyavasita hi. He again is emphatic. Oh, Krishna very clearly enjoins. No one should think that this is some sort of a useless person, sinful person. One has to see the intention. What is that intention? This person is dedicated to serving me. That takes precedence. That's the chief feature. The other things can be fixed. The other things will be fixed. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He'll come to the standard quickly. Why? Because Krishna is there. He's connected with Krishna. Krishna's pavitram parama, shuddham apapavitam. Krishna's pure and he purifies. And this person is attached to Krishna. He'll become purified. You're touching someone who's touching electricity, you'll get electricity. So someone who's attached to Krishna and to the pure devotee of Krishna and the service of Krishna, sincerely, not simply trying to justify all rubbish on the basis of so-called devotional service, but sincerely trying to serve, that person Krishna recognizes, yes, he's a sadhu. That other person is a different thing. Namnad balad yasyahi papabhudhya. Very good religion. I'll chant Hare Krishna and I'll do all rubbish and it will be very good because I can chant, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and therefore it won't really be affected. I won't be affected. Krishna will know that I'm a devotee. Krishna is not stupid. Ami vigya, Krishna says, I'm smart. He outsmarted Hiranyakashipu, he outsmarted so many demons. He can outsmart the little cheaters also, that's no problem. Why andiksha? Because he sees abhipreta, the intention. If we try to cheat Krishna, Krishna can out-cheat us 1,000 times over. And if we're sincerely trying to serve us, then Krishna will help us in every respect. So Krishna saw the sincere intention of Lord Brahma, and Krishna helped him from within and from without. Internally, as the super soul, the Lord was there to enlighten Brahma, and externally also, the Lord spoke to him. Those words are still potent. If we hear the words of Lord Krishna as spoken in Bhagavad Gita, as it is, and explained by a pure devotee of Krishna, and if we try to follow those instructions sincerely under proper guidance, then kashmalam shamayam, all the dirty things within the heart, pretty adorable yam, all the weakness within the heart will be dispelled by the grace of Krishna, by the power of Krishna, by the pure nature of Krishna, and everything will be all right. Hare Krishna. Yes. Microphone. Microphone, hey. Microphone, Kidre. Okay, speak loud, please. Oh, you can't speak loud. Speak low and I'll repeat what you say.
Okay, in that chapter, it's explained that Lord Brahma went down to the lotus to found the root.
It's explained in this chapter that Lord Brahma dove down into the water to find the root of this lotus.
Yeah, but because Krishna is Anadidari, he's infinite, you know, he can found it.
Because Krishna is infinite, Brahma couldn't find it.
And he was looking four directions, that's why he had chakra looking.
And he was looking in the four directions, that's why he had four heads.
So my question is, that Brahmanda was playing the fifth canto. In another Brahmas, who are more than four heads, the structure of the universe will be the same.
Will the structure of the universe in the other Brahmandas, the other universes, where Brahma has more than four heads, be the same?
Yes.
The fifth canto only for this universe? Well, I can give you a statement given by Srila Prabhupada that may be relevant. One devotee asked about the Vishwarupa shown by Lord Krishna, I think in Bhagavad Gita or else in second canto, he was asking about the universal form. Srila Prabhupada, is this universal form for this universe or for all the universes? Prabhupada said, one universe is enough for you.
Even it's too complex that Brahma himself can explain. He says, Prabhupada, that Sukadeva Goswami and Brahma, he can conceive.
Yeah, even Sukadeva Goswami, Brahma, to the extent, even this one universe, we're not going to figure out. Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, that I'll tell you something about the structure of the universe, but even if you had Brahma's lifetime, you wouldn't really be able to get it, to figure it out. But it's a some outline, some summary study, some indication of what it is, I'll give you. But don't try to understand the whole thing and get it, you know, like a walnut in your hand, because it's not possible.
It's not mathematical.
Even it's not mathematically possible, physically possible, intellectually possible, biologically possible, or in any other way possible. We're not going to get it. Even Brahma. Even Brahma must be amazed at the universe that he's created.
Prabhupada told me to calculate that.
Excuse me?
Prabhupada told me to calculate that.
Prabhupada told you to calculate it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you have very sincere, I'm sure you have very sincere intentions, and Krishna will help you. I can't help you. But Krishna says, aham agyana jantamha, from within, seeing that a person is satyadivyukta, always engaged in my devotional service, dadami buddhi yogamtam, I give him the intelligence. So in this way, we have to try to carry out the instructions we've received and depend on Krishna to help us.
Yeah.
We understand from the
well.
We understand from the ninth canto that not every Brahma goes back to Godhead, and that many Brahmas eventually come down. Mm. So my question is this: every Brahma is the creator, the power to create, and goes through a similar experience like this. How, after getting the darshan, the Lord giving the mercy, the Lord giving inspiration, could he lose that and then come down and be a human being or even lower? How could it possibly?
How does someone come to the Krishna consciousness movement and leave? You know, there's wonderful chanting and dancing, beautiful deities, wonderful people, fantastic prasadam, no anxieties. So compared, the material world is so miserable. They've had their bad experience of it already. They were completely frustrated with it, and they came and they found this so many wonderful things. So how do they go back? This is called Maya. We were hearing from Guru Kripa Prabhu yesterday, citing Srimad Bhagavatam, that the mind has practically godlike powers. Practically godlike powers. The materialistic mind, when one comes under its control, when that mind is let loose, even a little bit, that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the mind becomes fixed on something and gets carried away. Vayurnava-mimandvasa, like a boat being carried away by a strong wind. Therefore, one has to be very careful. And finally, it depends on Krishna. Krishna has some plan. Even Brahma, if Brahma falls down, he's not like an ordinary person. Krishna says in the first canto, or stated in the first canto, that even if someone falls down, he can't be considered like an ordinary person. If he's taken to devotional service, and due to immaturity, apakva, he wasn't completely, he was inexperienced, and somehow he fell, but he's not like a person who never came. The same message, that he'll come back, because he's got that taste of devotional service. He can't forget it. So he'll come back, and that's in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he'll automatically be attracted to his past tendency toward devotional service, and aneka janma sansitta. After however many births, he'll finally attain perfection and go back to God.
saying that Brahma is not in a living entity because he is Paramatma, he goes from Sai Vishnu. But Brahma says in a poor boat that even his own avatar, but there are not even entity to do that service because of the universe, Krishna himself.
Yeah, but there's no one to do it, then Krishna himself does it. He'll never fall down. But therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I don't mind even if I become a worm in the house of a Vaishnava. I wouldn't want to be a non-devotee Brahma. And even if a Brahma falls down, he'll get the opportunity to pour devotional service by the grace of Krishna. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata kaschit. Arjuna had said, what's the use of taking up devotional service or taking up the path of yoga because I might advance, and then fall down. And then I'm nowhere. I gave up my material life and I screwed up my spiritual life. So now I've got nothing. Why do it? It doesn't make sense. Krishna said no. That even if you take it up and fail, it's not lost. Whatever you gained is your permanent credit, and wherever you left off, even if you don't finish it in this life, you get to continue from there. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatinda. A person who's acted in devotional service on the auspicious path of devotional service is never just degraded. Even if temporarily he falls down, he'll come back because he has permanent credit. Doesn't mean, all right, then let me fall down and we should finish our business and not have to go through that. But even if such a thing happens, still by the grace of Krishna, aneka janma samsita. However many, therefore, Mukunda, he was excluded from the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for associating with the Mayavadis. And when he was repentant, how many births, when can I get Lord Chaitanya's association again? Oh, after 1,000 births. All right, good. All right, bring it back. Yes, Maji? Can we send that microphone around to the back?
Just one question.
No, you're not. One question is, now you're in the queue. All the way to the back. Straight back.
Hare Krishna. Very nice day to be given to this community. Now the last, actually you said that actually we cannot go ahead and cheat Krishna because among the cheaters, Krishna is the greatest cheater.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic thing actually when we are chanting every day, we are cheating Krishna because we say, okay, hey Radha, hey Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. But whenever we are chanting, our mind is not steady at the lotus feet of Krishna. Moreover, even after that, we try to be humble, but we are not humble. We are cheating Krishna in that way. We are trying to be tolerant, we are not tolerant. In so many ways, every day we are cheating Krishna. Then how come Krishna is tolerating us and how come his mercy is all the time flowing?
When we are always cheating Krishna, why is Krishna tolerating us?
Yes.
If it were me, I wouldn't tolerate us. But Krishna is called Karuna Sindhu. He's the ocean of mercy. Even a big lake of mercy would not be sufficient for tolerating us. But when you're an ocean of mercy, then you become very, very compassionate, even to cheaters. Don't cheat Krishna means at least try to keep your cheating propensity in check. Every conditioned soul has four defects: imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, next one, tendency to fall under illusion, and a cheating propensity. So we all have that tendency to cheat. Even when we're trying to advance in devotional service, sometimes we think that, well, anyway, it's just a small thing, let me cheat. And the mind is so strong, and habits are so strong, and material nature is so strong, and we're not so strong, and we have that cheating propensity. But we should try to check that cheating propensity. We have a tendency to cheat, we have a tendency to make mistakes, but we shouldn't think, well, that's who I am, I'm an imperfect living being, I have a tendency to make mistakes, so let me really be who I am and make lots of mistakes. I have a tendency to cheat, that's how I'm constituted, that's how I am, so let me cheat big time. Let me be honest with myself, I'm a cheater, so let me cheat. We should try to control these propensities. We have a propensity to cheat, to make mistakes, to be under illusion. We should try to control those propensities. We have a propensity for illicit sex, for gambling, for intoxication, for meat eating. We have so many propensities. Why? Because we've been associated with material nature since time immemorial, and especially with Rajagun and Tamagun. When Rajagun and Tamagun, all these things are there. Therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends Sato Vritte. We should follow in the footsteps of those who are pure devotees, those who are in the mode of pure goodness. And by following those who are in pure goodness, gradually we'll come to the stage of pure goodness. If we associate with those who are in passion and ignorance, and if we follow those who are in passion and ignorance, where will we be? But if we follow the Mahajanas, Mahajanayena Katasa Pantha, then gradually we'll come. There was a story, there was some thief who somehow went on pilgrimage. And, you know, these pilgrimage parties, so many pilgrims, and then they travel during the day, and then at night they make camp, and they stopped. So he was traveling with the party, and everyone set up camp, and everyone took rest. And while they were taking rest, he took the opportunity to steal their belongings. This from this person, that from that person. But then he thought that, what is this? I've come on pilgrimage, and still I'm stealing everybody's stuff. So he put it back in different places. He didn't know quite, you know, what I'd stolen from who, but he threw it back. So everybody woke up in the morning, hey, where's my this, where's my that, where's my loader, where's my... So then the thief came forward, please forgive me, that I'm a thief by habit and by profession, and so I had to steal all of your stuff, but don't worry, it's somewhere. So if a thief goes on pilgrimage with sadhus, then he'll also gradually be purified. So whatever we may be thieves, we may be rogues, we may be whatever we are, but we should try to check our undesirable propensities and be purified by chanting Hare Krishna. We know that we have all of this. That's why we're chanting. One reason why we're chanting, we know that we have all of these impurities within the heart. But we're following the process to be freed from those impurities. And as far as possible, we should facilitate the process by striving to give up those impurities. If we try to hold on and let go at the same time, that will be a very difficult business. So we should be, our intention should be, let me get free. I have these propensities. I know I have these propensities. But let me get free from these unwanted things. Is there another question in the back, or we'll send the microphone to the front again? There's a question in the middle. Okay, you can send it forward, and if it stops along the way, that's okay, but otherwise. We're seeing a hand pointing that to, okay, yes. And then we'll bring it back to someone we should do. Ooh, we're running out of time, so two questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hare Krishna everybody.
Hare Krishna.
I was just going to say that you're saying we should have the controlling of propensity, but it is said, Hamsa Vasya Prabhava, everything belongs to Krishna, it emanates from Krishna. The controlling propensity itself belongs to Krishna. So therefore, instead of we saying we control it, let Krishna merciful enough and tolerant enough to give us that propensity to control. We should bow down to his
Yes, we should pray to Krishna that this ability to control is coming from you, so you please help me.
Thank you, Maharaj.
We shouldn't, though, be like the people who carry on with their unwanted propensities and then say, when he desires, then everything will be all right. You know, why don't you take up Krishna consciousness? Yes, when he desires. He already desires, that's why he's told you, you rascal, you give up all your nonsense and surrender. His desire is clear. The problem is your desire. But when our intention is there and we're praying to Krishna, you please help me, then Krishna will do the needful. Prabhupada said, just after the day after he opened Krishna Balaram temple, he was walking on this road, and he said that if you ever have any problem, you can go before Gaura Nithai or Krishna Balaram and say, sir, this is the problem, and they will do the needful. Sanakrishi Prabhu, where's that microphone? This is the last question.
This verse describes about the water of devastation. Water of devastation is usually at the end of life of Brahma, end of day of Brahma, when we are seeing the beginning of creation. Why it is so?
Devastation can come at any time. But there's devastations, there's big and little devastations. Final devastation means everything's finished. But there are also periodic devastations. And the devastating water is always there, ready to flood New Orleans, or flood the lower part of the universe, or flood as much of the universe as is meant to be flooded at that time. So it appears that at this time, nothing else was there, but the waters of devastation were there. So things weren't looking very good, and Brahma was perplexed, what to do, what to do, what to do. So it was Krishna's arrangement, and by Krishna's grace, everything was settled up. All right, thank you all very much. All glorious issues.